Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a new episode of The Snatchback. This is your host, Arden here. Hope all is well with you. I'm just here enjoying life and really trying to cool down because you guys know I'm based in New York, near New York City, and it is hot outside. My Lord, I just went for a good run. So I've been cooling down for literally like the last 25 minutes. I'm drinking this very cold water that I have from the freezer. I had a nice popsicle. I have a towel over my head, as if I was Kyle Lowry enough last night, because that's the purpose of this episode. You already know we got to talk about the Cavs, my Cavs making it back to the NBA Finals, second straight year in a row, LeBron's sixth consecutive finals, but I can't do this by myself. I have a special guest that's joining us, Justin Rowan. Sorry if I messed up your name, Justin. You can follow him on Twitter at CavsNadian. One of the best basketball followers on Twitter, especially when it comes to Cavs talk. I see we have somebody on the air. We're going to see that Justin. Hey, how's everything? Welcome to the Snatchback.
Thanks for having me. Way too kind with that introduction. I'm happy to be here. I'm a little jealous of the heat you're talking about. It's been nice up here in Canada for a while, but today in Fahrenheit, it's only about 54, so it's a little bit cooler today.
Hey, you know what, though? I tell people all the time, you know, I'm more of a winter and spring person. Like, that 54 degrees you're talking about, I love that because it's probably coming with a nice breeze, right? Hopefully you got a nice breeze on that day.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love that type of weather. See, that's what I'm talking about. But, you know, I'm getting it through there. You know, maybe you got my Kyle Lowry towel joke, because that's how I'm really looking right now. I got the towel over my head, just figuring out what I'm going to do. but it's all good. Once again, I got Justin here with me. Please follow him on Twitter at CavsNadian. It's in the title above. Writer for Fear of the Sword. Salute to those guys over there, man. You guys do a very good job, you know, with the Cavs content, with the basketball content in general. And we might as well just get into it, man. In case you don't know, folks, you should know by now, the Cleveland Cavaliers won last night. They won Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals versus the Toronto Raptors, 113-87. LeBron James, Coach Lou, told LeBron, look, we need vengeance LeBron tonight. LeBron did that. He had 33. Kyrie came through in the clutch with 30 points and 9 assists. And, of course, K-Love, 20 points and 12 rebounds. And, Justin, when you think about last night, what were your thoughts on the game? Like, did it go as you expected? Were you surprised? Now, how do you feel?
Here's the thing. It went how my brain was telling me to expect the game. But after games 3 and 4, I was all messed up because the Cavs,
yeah, me too,
in reality probably should have swept them. And going into Toronto, you have Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan hitting contested shots. In game 4, they hit 21 of 30 contested shots where a defender's within 3 feet of their face. The Cavs had 27 open threes but were missing those. So when you have that history and the history of Cleveland, You expect things to kind of go wrong to some extent. But this, they did what they were supposed to do. They played well. The result was what it should have been. So it was definitely an encouraging night. And it feels good to be going back to the finals and especially healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's so funny about it? Because I remember before, you know, the conference finals, I'm pretty sure like you along with others and, you know, with as Cavs fans or Cavs media members or whatever, I'm pretty sure we was looking at that Raptors C-Series going, come on, man, just hurry up and finish. And I remember just talking to my best friend about it, and I'm like, you know my boys should take care of business, right? I'm like, we really should take care of business. I'm like, a maximum 5 games. But
yeah.
I was like, I know what this team can do in terms of a little letdown. I'm like, this could go 6-7 games if they mess around and don't
that
get
Toronto
a game or
nightlight
two up there immediately. Yep. I knew
that
it.
Weekend
I was
in
like,
Toronto.
Man, I knew it. And to be honest with you, after game 4, all I could do, Justin, was laugh away the pain. That's all I could do. I just had to laugh. I had to pray a couple times. And I was just like, it is what it is, man. That's how I really felt. I'm like, are we really about to go into a 6-7 game series?
Matt, if if the Caps would have won games one and two by, let's say, 10 points instead of the, like, combined 50-something that they won those games by, I think this series is over in, or would have been over in four or five. I think because they won by so much, going into Toronto on the weekend, you got so much downtime. Beautiful city for those that haven't been there. It's great nightlife.
I've been there. Plan on coming back.
And
it's lovely.
I think JR might have spent a little bit of time out and about. I think they might have not been taking Toronto as seriously as they should have. And Toronto, give them credit. I mean, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan started playing like themselves again. They found their confidence. DeMar DeRozan's a tough shot maker. He takes bad shots, but he makes a decent percentage of them. So he started hitting, Lowry started hitting, and the Cavs, I mean, they didn't play well. They missed open shots, but you got to give Toronto some credit. They were the number two seed for a reason.
And, it's great that you said that, because it was the fact that game four, of course, the Cavs make that comeback. It's the fourth quarter. They came back. They exchanged and leave. And it was just one of those things where it was like, part of me was like, damn it, I wish we wouldn't have come back just to lose like this, because it hurts. Especially because I think the Cavs at one point had a three-point lead. So you're watching the game and you're thinking like, yeah, they're going to build on this. They're going to build on this. And then they lose and it's like, freak. It's like, I wish we didn't do this. But at the same time, it's like, it was a positive because it came back. But my main point of what I was saying is the fact that regardless of how people feel about Toronto and their postseason, because they could easily go, well, they were the number two seed. How they get in 2 7-game series versus Indiana and Miami. The Miami one I could go on all day about, because I felt like they didn't deserve to beat it, and they got lucky and that Charlotte choked away. But
yeah,
it was dangerous because of the fact that it was like, at the end of the day, Toronto's battle tested. And the thing you don't want to give a battle tested team is extra confidence. Those guys
absolutely
truly believe that they could go into Cleveland and win a game, and that they've been battle tested and for me, Justin, that is what really scared me the most.
Oh, absolutely. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are emotional players. They feed off energy. They feed off momentum. And a thing that I was kind of had my eye on coming into the series was Toronto, sure, there were some nerves. Kyle Lowry was dealing with a bum elbow, but he was playing better towards the end of the Miami series. I think he scored like 35, 36, 25 points in the last three games there. So you thought, okay, maybe Lowry gets it going a little bit. But for everybody else that wasn't used to being the favorite in a series, now they're the underdog. Now they didn't have anything to lose. The pressure was off. They could play freely. And I think you saw some of that with Toronto, and that helped them. As you said, you don't want to give a battle-tested team confidence. The Cavs did that, but they managed to snuff that out. They snuffed that out in game five. And then they survived the runs that Toronto had. Toronto, I believe, cut it down to 10 points towards in the fourth quarter. You survive those runs. It's a game of runs. You accept that good teams are going to go on them. And then they put their foot on their throats, and they closed it out.
Yeah, and this one's a two-part, you know, answer/question. I also found it encouraging that the fact that, you know, the Cavs are finally able to beat Toronto for a team that had their two top scorers. You know, I mean, DeRozan didn't have 30, but still, he had 20-point shot, 9 for 18 from the field. Lowry had 35. So to beat those two while they're doing that, because usually the statistics say, you know, when Lowry and DeRozan do this and that, Toronto usually wins, but I thought that was great. But the next point I wanted to make, and also get your opinion on, the fact that, you know, this morning, of course, with the Cavs win, I was like, you know, I'm going to go on Bleacher Report. I'm going to go online, try to look at some articles, see what they're talking about, see if I actually enjoy the articles this time. And Howard Beck from Bleacher Report, salute to Howard, nice guy, incredible writer. He wrote a great piece, I think, really about LeBron's legacy in the East and about how certain teams that was supposed to be that thorn in LeBron's side and how they're supposed to compete suddenly take a deep dive for the worst. So, like, you think about, let's say, Boston, Chicago, Indiana, Detroit, like whoever that could come to mind, these teams were supposed to be like competitors for LeBron. They were supposed to beat LeBron.
Right.
And then at some point, they fell off. Like, and they're building their way back up, of course. Some of those teams you mentioned, like Boston, building back up pretty good. Indiana, building back up pretty good. We could see that with Chicago, might having to rebuild or whatever. But the funny thing is because when it comes to Toronto, Toronto really shouldn't be at that point after just one encounter. It should be like, all right, mm-hmm. Toronto, you lost. You guys are the young kids on the block. Salute to you. I will see you next May. But with DeMar DeRozan being a free agent and Bismack Biyombo being a free agent, and then you think about maybe possible storylines in the near future, maybe Carroll wasn't worth $60 million, or maybe mm-hmm. some Kyle Lowry, Corey Joseph friction, because let's say if a Corey Joseph is doing his thing big time, kind of like what's happening with Teague and Dennis Schroeder. What do you see in Toronto's future that could help them or hurt them as they're really trying to be a legitimate Eastern Conference contender?
Well, it's interesting to me because, like, you look at Toronto's stats over the season, and they were at their best when DeMar DeRozan was on the bench. Like, their numbers were dramatically better when DeMar DeRozan was on the bench. Their net rating, for those of you that don't know, that's how many points per 100 possessions you are either better or worse when a guy's on or off the floor. They were 6 points per 100 possessions better when DeMar was on the bench of the regular season, 10 points better in the playoffs.
That's incredible.
So they have some legitimate depth. They just signed Terrence Ross to a big contract. Damari Carroll, I like. He only played 2 games before the playoffs after missing a few months. So he was a little out of shape coming back from an injury. He hyperextended his elbow on his shooting arm as well. That affected his shot. I think he's a quality role player. They got tough decisions. Masai Ujiri, it's always tough to know what he's going to do because you look at what he did in Denver. And Nene was beloved in Denver, overcame cancer. He signs him to a big contract and then trades him basically immediately after. So whatever he does, I think he understands that this roster as is isn't going to contend. Kyle Lowry's going to be turning 31. I'm sure he's going to explore options with him as well. But there's a good, deep, young core there. Jonas Valanciunas, only 23 years old. We didn't get to see much of him in the series, but he was a big part of why Toronto got the 2 seed. I could see him exploring the market, going after guys like Al Horford, Nick Batum, exploring those avenues before probably signing DeRozan. I think he lets Biyombo go. But whatever he goes into this season with, I think it could still change pretty dramatically in the next months or years.
All right, and this is just a random question related to the Raptors free agency plan, because I think they've kind of been linked to him for like the last couple of years, you know, through Drake and whatever, along the fact that, you know, they have a budding basketball situation. But do you think Toronto could or should, if given opportunity, pursue Kevin Durant? Just because I say that because of the fact that my bad to cut you off, but I say that because the moves that you said that Toronto could make would be good moves, but it comes back to, once again, would it be enough to dethrone Cleveland? If you got Cleveland that has stars, and then, you know, they got role players, it's like Toronto's is building up, again, another really solid team that you have to hope that its potential could maybe outgrow. Should maybe they should have some maybe extension to maybe try to pursue and get that big star? Or should they go the path that you said?
I think they absolutely should. I thought they would have had a good shot maybe at Durant if he was going to leave, which I don't know how likely that is. But now that it looks like Durant's going to the finals, I don't think he's going from OKC.
Yeah, I don't think
but
so either.
Durant grew up actually as a Raptors fan. He's talked about his dream was always to play in Toronto. Even though he was from the Washington area, he grew up watching Vince Carter. And, I mean, anyone that watched Prime Vince Carter, I mean, you're a fan.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think they need to pursue someone like that. I don't know how available someone is. Maybe with the Kings kind of in flux, maybe you try to make a trade for Boogie Cousins. I think you need to take a gamble to an extent because I think Kyle Lowry would be a good second option. I think DeMar DeRozan's a good third option. But if you max DeRozan, if you give him that $30 million, you don't have the room to get that number one guy unless you draft him. And while they have the 9th pick in the draft this year, which they got for Andrea Bargnani from the Knicks somehow, I just don't see how you get that number one option unless you start taking some gambles.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like that's their best bet. Because, I mean, I just think there's only so far you can go, man, with, like, a Lowry DeRozan duo or whoever. I just feel like they have the type of team that should make it to mid-May every year. But if you're trying to make it to June, you got to get that big piece. You have to get that big piece. I mean, a platoon, like those type of guys are great guys to have for depth and for length. But those guys are great for that. It's just not meant for them to really be put in a bigger role. But might as well shift focus, and let's talk about the West. Just to clarify once again to the listeners, we're recording this on a Saturday, so when you hear this on Monday, we should either know who won the conference finals, or on Monday it will be a Game 7. So just giving you guys a heads up. Game 6 is tonight, OKC versus Golden State. And look, I'll be honest with everybody from the jump. Well, I don't know why I said that. I'm always honest with everybody. But of course, throughout the year, I was thinking Golden State championship, Golden State getting through the playoffs. My mind has been changed dramatically. Before the series started, I was talking to people, and I was like, even though I'm picking Golden State to win, I felt deep down inside, to be honest, and I'm not saying it just to say this, I swear to God, and when I swear to God, I really mean it. I really felt as if OKC had a legitimate chance of winning and could. I told people multiple times, I said, OKC was still a game. And if they still a game, watch out because they're going to take those two games at home. Game 5 was encouraging to me, even though they lost, because I said as long as they stay competitive and didn't get smacked up, they'll be fine. So, like I said before, we're recording this on a Saturday, but I expect Oklahoma City to win tonight. How do you feel, Justin?
I expect it as well. I guess for the listeners, if this is Monday and I'm wrong, laugh at me. I laugh at myself all the time.
Yeah, they laugh at me too.
But here's the thing. I felt like Game 5, if you didn't watch any of the regular season, you would watch that game and say, okay, the Thunder were the better team. The Warriors found a way to scrape out a win there. Really, like when you look at the regular season, they had three tight games, two of which the Thunder should have won. So it kind of makes sense that if Steph Curry's limited, if he can't track the doubles the same way he can, if he's not hitting his shots, Draymond Green's got a bit of a bum ankle, Andrew Bogut's banged up. It makes sense with that close of a margin that the Thunder would be able to get by them. I think the Warriors are still a fantastic team, probably the best team in the NBA this season, but the postseason's a different animal. And I just think that going on their home court, the Thunder are going to win it. If they don't win this is basically a Game 7, though. Because if the Warriors get that confidence, if they're going to Game 7 in Oracle, I really can't see the Thunder coming away with two road wins. I think they got them at that point.
They got it. Warriors. Not only would the Warriors get it, but it would be, to me, a blowout. It would have to be a blowout. Steph is going to show out that game. He's going to do his thing. He's going to crip walk. He's going to wiggle his shoulders. Draymond's going to flex all over him in a Game 7. It's going to have to be because for OKC, again, guys, we're talking on a Saturday. If they drop Game 6, that is just too demoralizing of a loss. How do you, within 2 days, going to bounce back from that to go into a Game 7? Like, I really don't know. But speaking of those two, once again, like I said, we know it's either going to be Oklahoma City or Golden State. When we're talking matchups and we're talking opportunities to win for Cleveland, I personally feel, and I'm hoping, Oklahoma City wins. Because I feel as if, I said it's going back to March. I said when it came to Golden State, I really don't feel good about beating Golden State. When it came to San Antonio, I was 50-50, 55-45 in favor of us. Oklahoma City, even though they're playing at a higher level, I feel the best about competing versus Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, for sure. The Cavs have done well against OKC for the last 3 years even. Like, even before LeBron came back, Kyrie would always have good games against OKC.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was in Cleveland for a game without Kyrie. Deion Waiters went off, and they stayed close in the fourth quarter. They had a nice comeback there. It just match up well. The Thunder are a tremendous team. They're a lot like the Cavs because they're capable of a letdown the same way the Cavs are every now and then. But Durant and LeBron, head-to-head, those guys, they're just incredible. They really are. LeBron typically gets the better of that matchup, and if he's getting the better of that matchup, it basically becomes on the rest of the team to slow down Russell Westbrook as much as possible, to bait him into taking a lot of shots and not efficiently. You know what? I just think the Cavs have more weapons. They have more options. And the Thunder aren't going to be able to out-rebound the Cavs the same way they out-rebound the Spurs and the Warriors.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you there. And that's why I'm just hoping OKC can win, because I just really feel that way. You know, I think there's something within LeBron, you know, going against Kevin Durant. And that's something, too, that I think some people have forgot about over the years, man. When LeBron has a legitimate matchup, LeBron steps up for those matchups. And those matchups are very fun. You know, whether it was Carmelo Anthony or Paul George or Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant or Jimmy Butler, LeBron has stepped up and responded to the challenge oh so well or oh so excellent. So I really like that. And here's another thing I want to talk about too with these matchups, regardless if it's Oklahoma City or Golden State, which is I'm sick of everybody, man. I don't know if you see it, but I keep seeing it all the time. When Kyrie does his thing, people really don't want to say nothing. But when Kyrie's struggling and then they watch Westbrook or Steph, people be like, oh, what Kyrie's going to do against them, or what Kyrie's going to do this and that. How do you feel about Kyrie's chances against either of those guys? Because I feel like Kyrie's going to hold his own and do his thing.
Here's my thing. I think this was more my theory against the Warriors. It definitely holds more true if they face the Warriors. It also is fairly true against the Thunder. I think for the Cavs to have the best chance at winning a championship, Kyrie Irving needs to be the Finals MVP. Because we know LeBron's going to do his thing. He needs someone else to elevate to that level. And LeBron's talked about it before. He said Kyrie Irving, when healthy, he's going to be our MVP. He could be a league MVP. And it's funny because, like, as you said, Kyrie's not going to get credit. I think playing next to LeBron, it would take something like that for him to finally get the respect that I believe he deserves, because everyone talks about, oh, Kyle Lowry, he averaged 20 points per game against Kyrie. Nobody talks about Kyrie averaging 24, almost 25 points per game against Kyle Lowry. And the thing is, like, they talk about individual point guard defense. Defending point guards is a team effort. Because name me one point guard that can defend Kyrie. Name me one point guard that can defend Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard. No one point guard can defend any of those guys one-on-one. It's about funneling them to help, about playing good team defense on them. So Kyrie's a guy that he has elite skills. His ball handling, his shooting. He's a very, very talented player, and I think he would need to elevate his play to that type of a level where he'd have a legitimate case at Finals MVP for them to have a chance to win the title.
And again, man, it's just something that it bothers me because it happens all the time. You know, Kyrie plays good. Of course, you'll get the compliments, but it's never at the same level as the other top PGs. Because I tell people all the time, and I really feel like it's obvious by now. In my opinion, I feel like Kyrie's a top five point guard. I think he's hands down the best point guard in the East. But everybody always talks loud when Kyrie is not doing good, and everybody just want to be like, what Kyrie can do against this and this guy. And I'm like, Kyrie has a long list of body bagging all of these point guards, man, and doing his thing and showing up. Like, if you want to talk about Steph, I could just go back to game one of the finals last year. Kyrie hobbled and doing what he did versus Steph hobbled. Okay, so that's just something for me, man. And I hope he shows out. And again, too, I hope Kevin Love can show out too, man. How do you think Kevin Love mentally and physically should feel and perform during the finals?
I think he's going to be really important. I don't know if you saw Dave McMenamin, ESPN, wrote about how Kevin Love after struggling with his shot, 3 and 4, Channing Frye lifted him up, and I thought Kevin Love's responded well. Overall, except for those two games, really, I've been impressed with Love. Even when his shot's not falling, he's been playing aggressive, establishing good position, getting rebounds. He's doing a lot of things that the Cavs need him to do. And if they're going up against the Thunder, he's going to need a rebound because the Thunder have been going with their kind of twin tower look with Steven Adams and Enes Kanter, who are both great rebounders. So Love's going to need to box him out. Tristan Thompson's going to need to do what he did against Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond averages 14 rebounds a game. He held him to about 8 in that series. So Tristan's going to need to get the boards. Love's going to need to get the boards. And if Love's hitting his shots too, shooting about 45% from deep in the playoffs, that's going to be a huge, huge lift for the Cavs.
final question before I let you go, Justin. This has been incredible. Thank you once again for coming on the show. Regardless if it's Oklahoma City, regardless if it's Golden State, give me your finals prediction along with finals MVP for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I mean, I've been riding my Kyrie finals MVP all year, so I'm going to stick
with
that.
Might as well stick with it, brother. Stick with it.
Got to stick with it. If I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to be loud wrong.
Yep.
There's no room for kind of sitting on the fence. I'll say if it's the Thunder, Cavs in six. LeBron always wins one game on the road. He's won a road game in 25 consecutive series. Cavs have home court advantage where they're tough to beat. So I'll say Cavs in six there. If it's the Warriors, man, I think that's a seven-game series. Depends how healthy Steph is. Man, that's tough. I think the Warriors would be the favorite, but this just feels like the Cavs here. The way the Cavs went through the East, the way they're playing, the chemistry there, you can just tell. Like when you look at a team when they're going on these finals runs, they look like how the Cavs look right now. So while I believe the Warriors are the better team, their season just doesn't have that same feel to it. Their run in the playoffs doesn't have that same feel to it. This just feels like the year for Cleveland.
I'm happy you said that, man. For me, you know, when it comes to finals MVP, even though I would love for Kyrie to get it, you know, he's been my favorite player going back to, you know, because I'm a longtime Cavs fan, man. This is going on year 13 for me. So basically since LeBron got drafted, and when LeBron left, I stuck with the team. And Kyrie, for me personally, took over as my favorite player in the league, you know, during that year where I hated LeBron. But, yeah, man, I would love for Kyrie to get finals MVP, but I got to go with LeBron for finals MVP. I think that would just be the case. You know, LeBron, all-around numbers, impact, third ring, first ring for Cleveland, or whatever. I think he'll get that. I think for a series against OKC, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm going to go safe. I'm going to go Cleveland in six, even though I personally feel like we could beat them in five, even though I really feel that way. But I'm going to stay with six to be safe, just to give respect to Oklahoma City. And you know what, man? With this run, and you really talked me into it with those final points, I'm going to pick us versus Golden State, too. Give me Cavs over Golden State in six.
There we go. Now we're
going to do that, man.
Let's do it. Might as well.
Yeah, man, I'm doing it, man. I'm shooting all the shots, man. I'm turning into my JR moment, man. I'm shooting every bullet in the chamber.
Matt, you got to cherish these moments, though, because, like, the decision, I always say, like, it made me a better basketball fan because, like, you appreciate these runs. It's about the journey more than the result.
Yeah.
And if you're not all in at this point, if you're not just completely buying into what the Cavs are selling and just enjoying every moment of this run, you're doing a disservice to yourself because they're playing amazing basketball, win or lose. This has been the most successful season in franchise history, as far as I'm concerned. This is the best chance the Cavs have ever had, and I think it's going to be a show in the finals.
That's right, man. And all in. Cavs been saying all in. Well, goddamn it, me and Justin, we're all in too. Justin, thank you once again coming on the show, man. I hope you had a great time, man. We had a great discussion. Please follow him on Twitter at CavsNadian. It's in the description above. You see it there. Justin, have a good weekend. Enjoy some of that Canadian breeze for me. And, of course, we'll be ready to go when the finals start next Thursday.
All right, man. I'll talk to you on Twitter on Thursday, I'm sure. You have a good one. Thanks for having
me. Absolutely. You too. All right. And that was the latest episode of the Snatchback. Thank you for listening, folks. Once again, I know we said it like 3 to 4 times. We recorded this on a Saturday. So when Monday it drops, either Oklahoma City closed out the Western Conference Finals or there will be a Game 7. Just letting you guys know in advance. But regardless, right or wrong, I hope you enjoyed this discussion talking about the Cavs and their trip to the finals and everything with it, talking about Toronto and how they could, you know, either stay competitive, become more competitive, or how they could drop off. And, of course, talking about the Western Conference. I felt like we really touched on everything. Before I go, please follow me on Twitter at Artist Sports Talk. Add me on Snapchat, bro. I'm lit on Snapchat. I'm the Snapchat Rookie of the Year. I swear to God. And everything else about me that's in the description below, all right? You guys have a good weekend. Happy Memorial Day. Salute to Justin once again for coming on the show. Peace. Go Cavs.